This season of the Creative Piano Teaching Podcast is proudly brought to you by Sheet Music Plus.
Welcome to the Creative Piano Teaching Podcast, the place where teachers from around the world meet to share innovative ideas about music education. Listen and learn as we help you motivate your students, grow your income, expand your studio, and become a more creative piano teacher.
Welcome back to Season 3, 2018 of the Creative Piano Teaching Podcast. You're listening to episode number 138, and a special welcome to all my Inner Circle Piano Teaching community members. My name is Tim Topham, your host for the show, and if this is your first time here, thank you so much for tuning in. The Creative Piano Teaching Podcast is your home for inspiration, ideas, business, and teaching strategies to help support your teaching and grow your studio. In today's show, I'm going to open up one of the most popular Inner Circle courses and share with you a module from it. It's all about how to get kids playing pop progressions in a pop style, and it will set you up perfectly for incorporating some fun chord style playing in your teaching. And if you enjoy this course and want full access as an Inner Circle member, I'm going to share with you a one-off special deal for membership at the end of this episode, which is never normally offered on the podcast. Make sure you listen until the end if you're not already a member, because I think you're going to want to take this one up. Today's show notes and a full transcript are now available at timtopham.com/episode138. It's just me on the podcast today, and it's a special episode as you get a chance to have a look inside one of my most popular Inner Circle courses, and it's called Four Chord Composing. You might have already heard about it. So what I'm going to cover today is why I created the Four Chord Composing course, who it's for, how it actually works, how you can get started, and where you can go to find more information. So the Four Chord Composing course is a 10-week framework designed to introduce any student to the fun and power of a chord-based approach to playing and creating music at the piano. Just about all music, from Baroque to classical, jazz, pop, rock, is based on chords, and yet explicit instruction around the chord-based nature of music, how it works, the theory behind it, and how to create it, seldom enters the traditional piano lesson. You see, of course, many of us weren't taught with chords and lead sheets and things like that in our own lessons. So one of the biggest difficulties, even if we know it's a great idea and would like to teach in this way and try some different things, it's really hard to know how to get started, what to do, and what to teach when there isn't a structure around it. And so that's why I created this course. The power of chords to assist students in the reading and performance of traditional music, not to mention the deep theoretical understanding that a chord-based knowledge of music brings to a musician, is critical to a pianist's sight-reading ability, understanding of musical genre, ability to improvise, and things like understanding form and structure. At the end of last month, I ran a webinar with Forrest Kinney all about teaching lead sheet playing to students and how important this is for any pianist. And I wrote a really popular blog about why lead sheet chord playing is essential in a piano lesson. I gave about 10 different points for it. So make sure you check that out. We'll pop a link in the show notes. The webinar with Forrest was one of my biggest and most popular webinars. And so if you missed it, make sure you check out the replay, which is also in the Inner Circle resource library. It covers many of the same theories and ideas based around this concept of teaching via chords, although the four-chord composing course I'm going to share with you now is a little bit different. Chord-based teaching provides a bridge between written musical theory textbooks and the practice of making music. And this is one of the reasons I love teaching students from a chord perspective. It gives students a practical demonstration of and an immersion in the theory through a student's real-world love and innate understanding of popular music, which, as we know, is generally based on chords. Put simply, this teaching approach connects students with the theory in a practical and meaningful way, using musical structures they innately know and understand. If you'd like your students to be able to read music more fluently, to be able to compose their own music and improvise out of trouble when performing, if you'd like them to be able to read a chord chart, fill in a left hand and accompany themselves as they sing, or if you'd like your students to be able to play in bands and have the best chance of making music for the rest of their life, then I believe this program is for you. So before I play a section of the four chord composing course, let me give you a little bit of background on the actual course. As I said, it's a 10 module course on how to take your students from the basics of chords, literally how to play major and minor chords and find them in any key around the piano, right through to using technology and arranging their own complex chord progressions. So this is how the actual course looks. Module one is all about finding major and minor chords and simply getting students' hands around playing chords and triads in root position. And I talk particularly about fingering choices there as well. Module two, which I'm going to share with you today, is all about pop piano playing. So both the style and where you play different chords, what your two hands do, but also some common chord progressions that kids love. Module three is about the starting of the process of composing with four chords and how I teach that. Module four is about creating melodies over the top of those chord progressions. Module five is about adding new chord types. So that's where we talk about seventh chords, suspensions and ninths and great chord sounds like that. Module six is all about styles and patterns. So how to make these chord progressions sound a bit more funky and a bit more popular. Module seven is all about form and structure. And this comes at a time when students in this framework are starting to create their own pieces of music through a variety of different chord progressions. Module 8, we talk more about sevenths, we talk about borrowed chords, and we look at bass lines in more detail. Module 9 is all about apps and technology that you can use that goes along really well with this approach to teaching. And Module 10 is a where to next. What are the next kind of steps that you would take with a student after this? And I give some recommendations of places to go and resources to find. Let me give you a couple of bits of feedback that I've got from teachers who have been using this method. So Lisa said, I did complete the four chord composing course and it is proving to be a winner with some of my students. I've been working through the material for some time now with one student in particular and am starting to use more of the information with other students too. They are all thrilled to be learning the fun stuff and to be able to play around with music that they like. And also this from Michelle. P.S., an unrelated topic, this was in one of our forums, but I just want to say my biggest win by far has been the implementation of your four chord composing to all my students. The absolute joy it brings is a pure adrenaline rush for all of us, and my biggest fan is a 67-year-old man. There you go. Thanks, Michelle, for sharing that, and also for Lisa for your feedback too. So let's take a listen now to module two of the course, where I focus on how to play in a pop piano style and talk about using the three most common pop progressions. I think all students should be able to play these three chord progressions. And if you've done any kind of chord work, you're going to recognize, you'll probably personally recognize all three of the progressions, but you may even be teaching at least one of them already as part of... Well, sometimes it's called chopsticks, other times it's called heart and soul, because that's one of the chord progressions. Chords, remember, form the foundation of so many pop songs, so it just makes sense to combine pop piano playing with a lesson on how to teach chords. In this lesson, we'll teach our students how to play in a pop style, what that looks like on the piano, where to put their hands, and those kinds of things. We'll talk about how to repeat chords and make sure it's they're keeping a steady beat, how to use the pedal also, and heaps more. Now, if you'd like to access lesson one, the lesson that comes before this, which is all about just setting students up for playing chords, then you can check out timtopham.com/chords. So let's take a listen. Now, a quick word from our sponsor, Sheet Music Plus. I'm sure you've heard of Sheet Music Plus. It's always one of the top search results when you're looking for sheet music because they have the world's largest collection. But did you know they also have a program to help piano teachers save money on their orders? The Easy Rebates program is exclusively for music teachers and gets you things like 8% cashback on all your orders. You can also earn 8% cashback on purchases by your students if you set up lists of music to buy. And I've done this in the past, and not only does it make the students or the parents' life easier, you also get that little benefit as well. There's also a $5 bonus when you refer a new member to the program, and it's completely free to join. Since Sheet Music Plus has over 1 million titles, including print and digital downloads, it's the best place to go when you have student requests or need something for an upcoming recital. So you should definitely take advantage of this free program. Go to sheetmusicplus.com/easyrebates, EASYREBATES, to find out more and sign up today.
In lesson two, as I said, we'll be exploring how to play in a pop style, because students are going to need to know this and a few common chord progressions in order to actually create their own progressions. So let's get started. All right, so Will, last lesson, I introduced you to a little method of playing chords called the big small method. And hopefully you got a chance to do some practice on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so I'm going to give Will a bit of a quiz of a few chords around the piano just to see how quickly he can find them. So Will, with your left hand, E flat major, please. Great. Chords, fantastic. Can you remember what fingers we were using when we played last week?
Yeah, I originally used 1, 2, and 4. But you wanted to use 1, 3, and 5 or 5, 3, and 1.
Yeah, yeah. So keep trying 5, 3, 1. Beautiful. We're using that at home more often.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Great. And let's go for G minor with the right hand now.
The right hand. Well, G minor is 2 and 3, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes. Yep. 1, 2. Yes, that's right.
So I have to listen to the sound of that. And maybe thinking about whether that sounds like a minor or a major. Yeah, that sounds better, right? So, do you know the mistake that you made?
Yeah, my fifth finger was on the C sharp instead of the D.
Right, and so that meant that you had what gaps?
I had a 2 and 2 instead of two and three.
Interestingly enough, and this could be a good point that you might want to bring up, the chord that Will's played, G, B flat, D flat, is in fact a diminished chord, and that could be something that you could teach students. So there are actually four chord types, diminished, augmented, and major and minor, but I'm not going to confuse you now. Things are going pretty well. Let's do two more quickly. Left hand, E major, please.
E major.
Great. And with the right hand, let's do D flat minor.
D flat minor.
Yeah, just for a little challenge.
No worries.
One of the other things we did, because we used one of the extension activities last lesson, was just to play out left hand chords, and you were doing some pretty cool improvising with the right hand, nice and simple. Let's just speed that up a little bit, and we're just going to do two beats on each chord. And we'll go up the scale, and we'll come down the scale as well. I'll give you a little beat down here. Right hand, maybe up an octave higher than you were last week. Anywhere there. And you can use any white note. If you want to move out of that five finger position, you can. Sure. Here we go. 1, 2, ready, and up. And so, would you be able to name these really, really quickly? First chord is?
C major.
Great, you can play them along with me as well. Yeah. So, C major, what's the next one?
D minor.
D minor, great, next one?
E minor.
Great.
F major. G major. A minor.
Correct.
Yep. B minor. Or is that a B major?
Have a look at your intervals.
Two.
And what did we say that was at the start of the lesson?
It's a diminished chord.
Very good.
So it's a B diminished.
B diminished, yeah. And yep. The last one,
C major.
Yeah, nice job. So I can tell that Will he's getting a good understanding of this and certainly ready to move on. There's no point waiting for him to be absolutely perfect with any of this. It's a matter of getting engaged with the music. You might want to check your students' oral discrimination again on major and minor. Again, on the lesson plan, you'll see that I've got check practice tasks up first, so you can see what you need to ask them. All right, so Will, today we're going to do some pop style playing. All right, so what we're now going to do is, and from now on, for the next little while, we're going to play chords in our right hand, 1, 3, 5, and the left hand, we're going to play octaves. Now, you're a teenager, you've got relatively big hands, so I'm going to get him to do octaves. Can you play octave C and C with the left hand? Good. For students who have never done this before, and I think you've played octaves before in your left hand, haven't you? Yeah? This may be a little bit hard for the first lesson. So your alternatives are fifths, so try just fifths, right? Or just single notes with whatever finger. You know, it It's totally fine, okay? And the thing that you really want to get students doing is keeping a steady beat when they play. So, Will, what we're going to do is I'd like you to just try repeating the right hand chord 4 times while you hold the left hand. And you can play octaves or single note. Play along with me. That's it. Good. And up one to D. I want to work on that a little bit, but there's a big glaring thing missing from this, and that's pedal. And I think chord progressions are a fantastic way to introduce pedal to students if they haven't used them before. I think you've mucked around with pedal before, so without saying anything, let's just try adding some pedal in. You ready? 2, 3, let's go a bit faster. And use of the pedal, but one thing I forgot to remind you of is that we actually need to change the pedal. Do you know a good time when we're going to lift the pedal up and down when we're playing this kind of thing, do you think?
You probably say after the fourth beat.
Yeah, so each bar, and when we change chords from now on, we're just going to lift the pedal up and pop it back down again to get a cleaner sound. Here we go. Yep. 2, 3, oh, let's put a beat on. 2, 3, 4, a bit faster. Effectively already playing a chord progression in a pop style. It's not a very interesting chord progression. When students add pedal to a chord progression, sometimes like Will, they'll leave it down or they won't actually know when to change. So I actually think this is a good time to introduce syncopated pedaling. So that's when we're holding the pedal down until after we play the first next chord, and then the pedal comes up and goes down quickly afterwards. So it's that kind of out of time pedaling that we as teachers will do and know. For students, it can be a little bit harder. So actually just playing a chord progression really slowly and moving to the next one before they lift up their foot, they play, and then they lift up their foot and straight back down again. And you're trying to get that nice clean change sound as well. So it's just a good opportunity to add some pedal. Make sure you play all these progressions with pedal because they're going to sound so much better. All right, Will. So one thing, just before we get on to, I'm going to introduce you to really 3 really cool pop chord progressions. And you're going to know the sound of these because they're the kinds of progressions that a lot of the pop music that you might listen to on the radio are built on these days. Before we do that, I just want to introduce you to a couple of ways that we name chords. So this is the scale of C major. And one useful thing that students could do at some stage is to actually build stacks of chords like this. We won't worry too much about that just at the moment. But what I do want to let Will know about is that when we're naming chords in a key, rather than call this is a C chord, this he picked up before was a D minor chord, and etc. We could write them like this. So this is chord names. This is how modern pop music obviously writes chords in music. But for the purposes of learning chord progressions, it's also good to use numbers. And most musicians will learn Roman numerals. So have you learned Roman numerals before?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah. So the first scale degree of the scale is going to be I. Roman numeral I, yeah? And it's going to be a capital I because majors are going to be shown in a capital and minors will be shown in lowercase,
okay.
Right? So I wouldn't do this. I would hand this to Will. I'm going to do it here so you can see on the video. But I would then get Will to go, okay, well, the next chord is D minor. So what would I write?
2 lowercase I's.
2 lowercase I's. Beautiful. E minor?
Would be 3 lowercase I's.
Great. The F chord, is that a major or a minor?
Major, so it would be I.
Great. And I'll just go through here because I know he's all right with these. Now, this is a 7 diminished. So if you want to know the sign for a diminished chord, it's a little degree sign. There you go. And we're back to C. I won't worry about that at the top. And of course, the final way that students should know how to number these is just by our regular numerals. Okay. Great. So with that in mind, and that was a really rushed job, you'd want to do a more thorough go of this with students. But again, try not to talk too much. Try and do as much playing as you possibly can in lessons. So Will, I'm going to introduce you to the first of the chord progressions that we're going to learn this week, and you're going to take these home and explore them this week. It's going to be really, really good fun. So the first one, I'm going to write it in Roman numerals and see if you can play it. We're going to play it in the key of C. Mm-hmm. That's what that means. Mm-hmm. And it's going to go 1, we're going to go 1, 6, 4, 5. So would you be able to play that on your piano? And let's use that pop style. Let's kick the beat, 4 beats per mm-hmm. bar. And we're going to play... So what's your first chord? Oh, wait. I've done this round the wrong way, haven't I? Chord 1 in C is a major chord, right?
Mm.
6, 4, 5. There we go. So, sorry for everyone who's watching at home and noticed that I got that wrong. 1, 6, 4, 5. So first chord's going to be 1 chord in C. Next chord is the 6th chord.
Yep, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Great. Here. And we know it's lowercase, so it's...
That's a minor, so here. No, not that.
Beautiful, that sounds better.
Yep,
great.
There you go.
And you can tell your student that, to save time, this is all white notes, so yeah. You don't need to worry too much about thinking.
Mm-hmm.
4 chord. Great. And the 5 chord. So let's all play that together with 4 beats per bar. And I want you to move down the piano as you go, right? Do you want to keep that in front of you?
Sure. Yeah.
Great. And in fact, while you've got that, why don't you just write out underneath the actual chords that you're going to play.
All right, so C major.
Yeah.
And then the 6th.
Now, interesting. Now, you can't see what Will's... Show me what you've written, Will. This is really interesting. So can you see Will's written... this for the C chord, and of course he's also done a little M next to the A for the minor. Yeah, so this actually is telling you to play a C minor chord, right?
Okay, so,
it's assumed. No, you don't need anything.
I just don't need anything.
Yep.
Okay.
Well done. All right, looks good. So let's play the chord progression. Pedal, left hand doing the octaves.
Mm-hmm.
And off we go. 2, 3, 4 beats on each one. And down to A. Down to F. Up to G. Good. And let's just finish on C. Right, nice job. So one thing that I want Will and for you with your students to do is try and get students to use the area, if you can see on the overhead view here, from middle C. The octave below, it's where chords sound really, really rich. And so I think it's a really good place to start. So Will, once you've done your A, your C chord, I want you to go down 2 steps to A. Here we go, 2. I've put a beat on, we'll go a little bit slower. Ready?
Yeah. And then go back up to...
And we'll just finish.
Keep going down.
Yeah, we'll keep on going down.
Yep.
Yeah, ready? 2, 2, 3. A moment of accidental brilliance. Now, if we had time, we could go through what Will actually did there, because that was actually a really common way to end a progression.
Mm.
So just so musically, it's just oozing it. So that was good. That sound
yeah,
pretty cool.
Sounds
yeah.
Cool.
What if I played it like this? Have you done that before?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this is, of course, the heart and soul progression, one that all students should know. Also used in the 50s. Musical theatre, right?
Yeah.
This kind of progression was used a lot in a particular...
Grease.
Yeah, very good. So, I'm not going to have all the fun. Let's try it playing. So, let's do this. Now, again, I'm doing this with Will because I know he can probably do it. We'll find out in a moment. You might want to leave this for other students until a little bit later. So, we're going to... Left hand's going to go first. Left, right, 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 left. Thank you. Will's missing the left-hand notes a bit. Totally cool. You know, you can muck around with it at home, and I know you will.
Yeah.
All right, next chord progression. Grab the texter, and I want you to write one... Just write the num out, you know, normal numbers. 1, 5, 6, 4 this time. And let's play that.
So...
Let's play two notes on each this time. So, sorry, two beats, each chord. Let's just try with the right hand first. So your first chord, C, two Cs, then down to G. Remember going down.
So with the left hand or right hand?
So with the right hand.
Yep.
So C chord in the middle of the piano, two of those, and then down to G. Good, up one note to A minor, and then down to F. That's it. Good. Sound familiar? Repeat it again and the left hand in. Ready? With C. Go. G. Good. A minor. And F. Good. Finish with C. Great. And you can see how I'm coaching Will as he goes. I'm a little bit like the aerobics instructor. I'm trying to preempt the next chord that he needs to play so he can keep a steady sequence going. It's really important that two things are happening with this. One, that your student is thinking ahead, and this is, you know, Will is a pretty competent musician and he's thinking ahead anyway. A lot of students will have real trouble. They'll stay on C, even if they have to play it four times, and then suddenly go, I've got to play G. Whereas, you know, we can be thinking and looking down. I'm looking down here at the piano at G, so I can move straight there. The other thing that students will tend to do if they're not so used to this style of playing is they'll move their hands kind of all over the piano and different change the shape in their hand before they come up with the next chord. And of course, we know that all these chord shapes are the same. So keep your hand in the same position. It's kind of locking it in this kind of position and just moving it up and down the piano. But while I don't want tension in the hand, I just want the same shape. That makes sense? Great. Last chord progression. This happens to be my favorite because I was a bit of a 90s kid and this is a very 90s progression. The numbers you need are 6, 4, 1, 5.
So play that.
Yep. Nice job. Again, down the octave. So we're going to start. So this progression actually starts kind of the whiteboard back. Beautiful. So these are the three progressions that we've done and they're in the lesson plan, so you don't need to memorize them or write them down. So we did this one first. That's that progression written two different ways. And again, good for the student to know different ways. And then this one and the last progression. So let's play this last progression. We'll go a little bit slower. There's that back for you.
Thank you.
And we'll do two counts on each, just right hand again. So two, three, six. Good, two and F, one and G. Good, repeat. Nice job. Do you want to have the left hand in?
Yeah.
Yeah, six. A minor, F, A and C. So again, I mean, that was quite fast. I could tell you were struggling a little bit, but I'm just gonna keep moving forward. Now, just judge it for your student as to how fast you should be going. So really thinking about that jumping and getting students to think ahead. If that's too fast, then just do one hand and go as slowly as you need to, but always keeping a steady beat. So, so important. Okay, so practice task for this week. I want you to explore these three chord progressions.
Mm-hmm.
You might want to see if you can do this kind of little groovy thing with that first progression. You could play them in three, four time. You could just explore them, okay? Using the pedal, you could record yourself playing this on your phone any of these three progressions. They're all in C major. Mm-hmm. So you could record them, maybe repeat them a few times, put your headphones in, and then you could do a little bit of mucking around just C major like you were doing before.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
That could be kind of cool. Now for extension activities, because we're using, can I grab the whiteboard back again? Because we're using the chord number system, I could ask Will to, for example, play each of these chord progressions in a different key. So maybe you've got to learn them all in F, and maybe in G as well.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't go to a flat key just yet. That could be another little extension to do. If a student's going really well and you wanted to explore some inversions, you could do that with students too. But we're not going to cover that right at the moment. Will, we're just going to finish with a song to play. I've written that down here. Let It Be by the Beatles uses just these four chords.
Mm-hmm.
So let me write it out for you really, really quickly so you've got a copy of it. So it's not going to work. So we've got C, G, A minor, F, C, G, F, and C. This is the verse. So we'll just try that first up. Do you know the song, Let It Be by the Beatles?
Not off the top of my head, but I think it will ring.
I reckon it will ring a bell as well. All right, so let's try playing it. We're going to do... So we'll go about that kind of pace.
Yep.
Two beats each chord.
Yep. Right? C4 or C3?
C... What do you mean?
Middle C or...
Oh, yeah, so middle C.
Yeah.
And then you'll know which direction to go for the next one, right? Here we go. One... 2, 3, 4. Good. And the left hand in 2, 3, 4. For a student like Will too, I know you're a singer, I'd be encouraging you to go home, sing along to something like that. If they don't know Let It Be, then that's all right. They could maybe learn it or just enjoy playing it. The other great activity for students is to go home and find chord progressions that use, songs that use these chord progressions. I mean, this one here, the last one we did. That's a 6-4-1-5 progression, used all the time, as is, I've chosen them because they're all used a lot. The second progression. Do you know any songs that use this progression?
A lot.
In fact, Let It Be does.
There's heaps of songs.
So, for a student like Will, I could say, come back and tell me, sing a couple of songs that use that chord progression. Okay?
Sure.
Great, and I've given you one chord progression as well. This is just I can barely see that. Oh, I'll do it this way. A chord progression not related to a song necessarily that they can play too. And I'm suggesting that you send your students to watch this Axis of Awesome YouTube clip. This is a link to the clean version. Notice there's a little bit of swearing at the start of it, so use the clean version. It's a great demonstration. You've seen it, haven't you?
I have,
Of four chord progressions in action. All right, so I hope you've enjoyed this lesson. So now that we've covered the basics, the fun really starts. Next lesson, we're actually going to compose our own versions of these chord progressions. And it is incredibly easy. Students totally love it. And I look forward to sharing that with you in the next lesson.
So I hope you enjoyed that look inside how I teach playing in a pop style for my students. If you'd like to get access to the full course with all the videos of me teaching this style to my student, then make sure you join the inner circle at timtopham.com/community. Of course, not only do you get access to this course, but you also get access to all our other courses, including things like Notebook Beginners, our course on studio marketing, converting to group teaching, full access to our Studio Growth Roadmap, and also all our future courses too. And remember that your price never increases regardless of how many new resources I put in there. And if you want more details specifically on my chordal approach, you can head to timtopham.com/chords, where I also offer a top 20 tips for four chord composing. So I hope you enjoyed that sneak peek inside just one of the many courses available in my Inner Circle membership. Remember that as a podcast listener, you can always get $100 off your membership using the code provided at the very end of each podcast episode, which brings the cost down to $299. But to make it even better, today I'm going to offer you an even better deal as a thank you for listening in. If you sign up within the next 7 days from the release of this episode, which is the 7th of September, 2018, and I'm sorry if you're tuning in after this date, you'll have to just take up the regular podcast offer. I'm going to take off $175 off your membership. This is huge. If you use the coupon CORD Podcast, all one word, this is going to be live until the 14th of September, 2018, and that will bring the cost down to just $224. For every year going forward, as long as you stay a member, and no matter how much new content we add and new courses we provide. So just keep that in mind, because this is really, really crucial. You're locked in at that rate. So when we add all our future courses, we tend to add a new course a month, webinars, lesson plans, discounts. There's heaps of discounts in there now for members, which you can't find anywhere else. That's only going to increase the value of your membership. So that code again was CORD Podcast, all one word, CORD Podcast. We'll hopefully see you inside the community soon. Well, speaking of courses, we're currently gearing up for a new course and live webinar in September, which is all about something that I'm asked for help with all the time, and that's Facebook advertising. Facebook advertising can be a huge boost to your business, but only when used the right way. And there are so many traps for spending money and not really getting anywhere, which is why I wanted to create this course for teachers to help you avoid the chance of wasting any of your money, because it's too precious for that. So I know the experience out there of teachers who have tried this on their own can be a real struggle. So the other issue too is that there's lots of online training courses out there, and webinars for that matter, and YouTube videos that simply aren't suited to a music teaching demographic and market. And that's what we're trying to do here. So what I'm doing is I'm working with one of the world's leading experts on Facebook advertising, and she's creating resources for us specifically for piano teachers. She knows the market well because she's been helping me with my Facebook ads for over a year now. And she is a superstar. She's been on the stage multiple years at Social Media Marketing World. She travels the world speaking on this topic and has a big agency helping other people with their Facebook advertising. So she's an absolute superstar. I can't wait to help all of you who are listening and are interested in Facebook advertising really refine what you're doing, really dial in your demographic targeting, which is one of the biggest issues, and know which buttons to click and what things to select. You know, is it a good idea to put placements everywhere, or should you just go for Facebook in the newsfeed, or should you do just mobile? And there are just so many ifs and buts. That's what we're going to be answering. So we're going to share that with you in a few weeks' time. Stay tuned for more information. I haven't got a link or anything yet. This is just a quick heads up that that's coming. And a quick reminder too, if you haven't already done so and you are enjoying this podcast series, I'd be delighted if you could spend just 3 to 5 minutes creating a quick review on either iTunes or on Facebook. So if you're a Facebook user, just head to my Facebook page and you can see on the side, there is a spot there that you can review, and it'd be delightful if you could do that. Same in iTunes. If you're interested in how to do an iTunes review, I've got some simple instructions at timtopham.com/iTunes. So on to next week of the podcast. I've got a very special guest. He is a doctor, a high-level performer and very popular young teacher on YouTube, most well-known for his tutorial videos that simplify some of the hardest repertoire. In next week's interview, he lets us in on how he's grown his YouTube following, how he monetizes both his YouTube channel and website by selling courses and being an affiliate for other programs, and his teaching tips for people who want to teach on Skype and online. If you don't know him yet, you're really going to enjoy meeting Dr. Josh Wright next week. I'm Tim Topham, and this is the Creative Piano Teaching Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Ladies and gentlemen, that will conclude this evening's entertainment.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Piano Teaching Podcast. We'd love to help take your teaching to the next level as a member of our supportive community. Use the coupon Piano Podcast for $100 off an annual membership of Tim's Inner Circle today. To find out more, head to timtopham.com/community.